Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Basically Blind, a podcast where I, Avery, your host, share my own experience with vision loss, as well as explore topics around diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. I'm going to be very honest. I've been so torn as to what to talk about on today's episode. But early on, when I talked about what things would be discussed on the podcast, I believe it was episode one, I talked about how I would have included within the content reactions to things within pop culture. Because as the name pokes fun at, not only am I pointing out the fact that I'm visually impaired and not completely blind by being basically blind, but I'm fairly basic with the things that I like. And falling into that category would be the Bachelor franchise. I have been watching The Bachelor a majority of my life. The first season that I really got invested in was the season with Andrew Firestone. I don't know, there was something really dreamy about him. Both my mom and I really enjoyed that season, and it got me really invested in the stories that they put forward. Now, this is a show that has been pointed out to be pretty problematic because it did reinforce a narrative around just a white dominant love story. You did not get many people of color on the show to begin with, and many did not make it very far in the process. So I was really excited about the last couple seasons and how for Bachelorette and Bachelor, they were making a very conscious effort to increase the diversity that you saw on the screen. And especially with this past season with Matt James as the Bachelor, I was very happy to see that more of the cast identify themselves as being a woman of color than identifying as white. And on a very personal note, my favorite contestant this season, which probably isn't surprising, was Abigail from Beaverton, Oregon, who identifies herself as being deaf. This is the first time since Sarah, who I believe was on Sean Lowe's season, which was a long time ago. I think it was 8 years ago or so now. On Sean Lowe's season, they had Sarah, and Sarah, I believe the umbilical cord had wrapped around one of her arms in utero. And so when she was born, she only had one arm. Abigail is the second person that I can think of that had a disability. And when I say that, I don't want to discount anyone that's been on the show that has depression or ADHD or diabetes or anything like that. But she had a disability where I could relate to, where once people find out, and they can find out pretty easily, you know, it's hard to hide, I guess, that you have the disability, that there can be judgments that go along with it. And I can't even express how excited I was when Abigail got the first impression rose this season. I considered it a win for everyone with a disability. And it was really, it was really exciting to see someone who I felt like I could relate to in a way, getting a chance to have their love story told on TV. Because as Abigail touched on in The Women Tell All, there often aren't opportunities and examples in pop culture and in the media of people with disabilities, their love stories being told. And last week's episode, I had my husband Cam on, and we talked about the different things involved with dating and how my visual impairment impacted it or didn't impact it, and how it impacts our daily lives living under the same roof. And there were a lot of conversations that Abigail had throughout the season, including when she had to talk to Matt and be incredibly vulnerable and let him know that there was a very strong chance that if she had children, that they would probably be deaf as well. And that's a conversation that I've had to have at times with people I've gotten very serious with. And I've gotten genetic testing, and as discussed in the episode 2, the diagnosis, my genetic testing really didn't yield much information that was helpful. It was kind of inconclusive, because whatever specific genetic sequence that I have that causes my visual impairment, it hasn't been identified yet. So there is a chance that I could potentially pass along my condition, whatever it is, to children. And if I'm with someone who's considering building the rest of their life with me, that's a not fun but necessary conversation that needs to happen. And I personally loved seeing something I could relate to so much on my screen. With that said, though, overall, I'm really disappointed with how everything went with this season. I'm disappointed in how a lot of the women treated one another. There was a lot of just really abhorrent behavior of how the women treat each other. Some of the women in the house still stand by the fact that they didn't think it was a toxic environment, but from what we saw on the TV screen, it definitely seemed that way. There seemed to be quite a bit of bullying and othering, and I mean, it's not what you want to see. Not right now. Like, the pandemic, everything going on in the world, the last thing you want to do is spend your Monday night watching people just rip each other down and make one another cry or feel terrible. And that was a huge emphasis of the storyline. I really felt like the audience really didn't get to know these women that well. I mean, I don't really know that much about even the women that made it to top three, which is just seems kind of crazy. And the bigger conversation that ended up taking over was some really racially insensitive photos that came out of the woman that Matt James inevitably did pick at the end, Rachel Kirkconnell, of her at an Old South party in 2018, which appeared to be a sorority event. And having been in a sorority, I can tell you that apparently the international organization of the sorority she's part of had banned those parties. So I guarantee not only is Rachel Kirkconnell in trouble for this, but that entire chapter is probably in a huge amount of trouble for the amount of negative attention it's bringing to that specific organization and just Greek life in general. And not only were those photos found and put out there, it did take quite a while for Rachel to respond to them. And in an interview on Extra with former bachelorette Rachel Lindsay, Chris Harrison really dug himself a hole and made it very glaringly obvious how much he himself didn't understand how those photos could be racially insensitive to individuals. Now, if you haven't watched the final or you have been avoiding avoiding any spoilers still, you won't want to listen to the rest of this because I will say what happens after the final rose. And after the final rose, we find out that Matt James did break up with Rachel. And that the thing that was the most painful for him was the fact that he had to explain to her why the photos were racially insensitive. In general, that after the final rose was some of the most uncomfortable TV I've ever had to sit through. It was very clear Matt did not want to be there and to be reliving or interacting with these women that he's no longer in a relationship with. And I think that it's really evident that just by the way everything unfolded, that there is the need to not only diversify who's doing casting, and like, can we start making it normal to do background checks here? Like, look through people's social media. We should not be ending up in these situations. And this isn't the first time, because on Rachel Lindsay's season, there was also a contestant named Lee who was just objectively racist. What Rachel Kirkconnell did was racially insensitive, but the contestant on Rachel Lindsay's season was just honestly a flat out racist. And I really want to see this network putting in the effort to eliminate people with these problematic pasts from dating people of color. I do not think that this is fair to the people that sign on to be the leads to then have to manage the situation of confronting someone who doesn't understand how their actions are overtly or inadvertently hurtful to a huge identity for them, which is their race. Also, they announced it after the final rose that there will not be one, but two bachelorettes. One is Katie, I believe her last name's Thurston. She is actually from Seattle. She made her entrance and was known as Vibrator Girl for a good portion of the season, but then gained notoriety because she actually stood up to people when they were being really cruel about other contestants in the house. And she was the one that actually flagged to Matt that there was a problem that needed to be dealt with. Now, after the final rose, there were a number of women that confronted her saying that she was making issues where there weren't any because they didn't agree with that type of an atmosphere. But from what we saw, it seemed very clear that that was the case. And I honestly think she did do the right thing. The other bachelorette is Michelle Young. She was the runner-up, we'll have you, that also met Matt's family, but then in the end wasn't chosen. And I really like Michelle and I really like Katie, but it does seem as though the Bachelor franchise is trying to cater to both segments of its audience that have out of this past season split down the middle, because there are some people that are outraged at how everything was handled. They are honestly pretty disenchanted with the franchise at this point, and I would consider myself in that bucket. And then there are people that think that this has been completely blown out of proportion. And currently Chris Harrison has stepped back from hosting and he won't be hosting the next season of The Bachelorette, at least for sure Katie's season of The Bachelorette. And they don't want to watch until Chris is back. So it seems that there is a group of people that they prefer for it to be more focused on white love stories and being back to the way it used to be. And then there's another split of people that think that change needs to happen and that the show needs to do a better job representing the world that we live in and the people that live in it. I'm just in general, like, just so disappointed with how everything has happened that I don't even know if I'm going to be watching the show anymore, to be honest. I also was very disappointed that Abigail wasn't chosen to be a bachelorette. It would have been an opportunity to give a person with a disability the opportunity to tell their love story, and that has never, as far as I know, happened on any sort of a dating show where the lead has a notable disability. And just there were so many things that Abigail said that, like I mentioned before, that I related to. But one of the big pieces that really hit home for me was when she was on After the Final Rose, or excuse me, on Women Tell All, and Chris Harrison had made the comment that she's gotten a lot of support from the deaf community. And she said that she was really happy and excited to see that that was the case, because she was born deaf, but she has a cochlear implant. So this implant makes it so that she does have hearing when she has this in, when she has her hearing aids and everything in, and that she is not considered, as she described it, deaf with a capital D, because she doesn't speak sign language and she is able to communicate verbally. So she's able to read lips and hear a lot of what's going on, and she's able to communicate herself verbally. And that she described herself as being in this portion of the deaf community that there isn't necessarily a lot of attention put on, because she isn't, as she said, deaf with a capital D, and she isn't considered to be hearing. She's in this in-between, this gray area that's kind of missed and not considered a lot of the time. And when we were watching this, because Cam watches it with me as well, he turns to me, he goes, "She's just like you." And that's how I felt too. I was like, yeah, no, she is like me. Cause that's exactly how I feel with my vision. I'm not sighted, but I'm not blind with a capital B, I guess you could see. I'm basically blind. I'm severely visually impaired. It impacts my life. However, there are a number of things in my life I'm able to still rely upon my vision for, and I don't have to use Braille. I'm able to read things or convert things into audio files and things like that. So I can understand. She said that she was nervous. She didn't know how she would be received by the deaf community for sure, since she's in this in-between, and I've definitely felt that way. When I was starting this podcast, very honestly, I was afraid of potentially hurting someone or offending them by referring to myself as basically blind. Because if, you know, there are more limitations if you have absolutely no vision, as opposed to being visually impaired or having vision that's low enough that you can't rely on it. And I haven't had that experience at all. And I really hope that this is actually inspiring to people that have a visual impairment or are completely blind, because there's someone out there that's telling their story that they can actually relate to. Because like Abigail had said, there aren't a lot of examples out there of people with disabilities being portrayed in a way where it's, hey, I'm this person and I happen to have this. Instead, it usually just becomes the focal point. And that's their story and that's it. Whereas I did think that Abigail was presented in a very fair way, where we got to know her and she was Abigail, and she happened to be deaf. But I don't know her as the deaf girl. I thought they did a great job with that. But that's one of the few things I thought was done well. So since I had promised to talk about pop culture, and this is something that definitely has, it falls in line with subject matter that I touch on, as well as just what's going on in the zeitgeist, I wanted to take the opportunity to just discuss the way I feel. And, you know, feel free to let me know if you feel the same or if you feel different. You can do that by sharing it on the Facebook page at Basically Blind, or you can share it on the latest Instagram post or DM me at Basically Blind Pod. And as always, I want to thank everyone for listening to this podcast. I really enjoy doing this so much. If you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you choose to listen to it. And also, if you haven't, it'd be so appreciative if you go into Apple Podcast and leave a 5-star review, since it really helps others be able to find the podcast. So, as always, I'll see you next time. Bye.